Josie Melia and Julie Everton, two writers, and both of you. In 1984, the first day I arrived in Brighton, which was to do a degree at Brighton Polytechnic, I wandered down to the beach. We know what had happened, and what faced me, we weren't allowed up onto the road, was the sight of a collapsed building.
Yeah.
And I still have that image etched into my memory of everything collapsed in the middle of the Grand Hotel. Now, I'll start there, and can you finish that story off as we arrive in 2015 with a new play, The Bombing of the Grand Hotel?
Yes, so the play explores the causes of the bombing and the consequences of the bombing, and in particular the strange, extraordinary relationship between Pat McGee, who set the bomb, and Joe Berry, whose dad died in the bomb. That's
so, Josie, take me to the moment where that idea formed.
Okay, so we're in a car driving back from Chichester Festival Theatre, Julie and myself, where we'd been to see a play called A Marvellous Year for Plums, which sounds a very unlikely starting point for this play. But we were discussing, the reaction of audiences when something that's happened in their lifetime is on stage. And we began to wonder what had happened in our lifetimes that we didn't, you know, we'd never seen a play on. And the idea of the Grand Hotel bomb came up because we're both, you know, Brighton writers living here, remembered the bomb, and that's where it started from.
So I don't know which one of you wants to take this. Are there two notebooks or one?
About five.
So take me into that process from from idea to first draft script.
Right. So neither of us had worked, written together before. Neither of us had written a play with anybody else before. And what was brilliant about writing together was that we conducted a lot of interviews, and we went to Belfast, interviewed Pat, and I wouldn't have wanted to do that on my own. And so together, that was a really good bit of the process. Initially, we realised what different writers we were, and it was really difficult. And it was like, oh no, she writes like that, and oh no, I write like this. And but gradually, as it's gone on, we wrote a first draft, rough first draft. Then we've written four. This is the fifth draft, and now we're very much on the same page with it. We every scene's been kind of written, maybe by one person, edited by the other person. Some scenes have been reworked, you know, even while we were rehearsing, you know, we wrote stuff.
And how do you ensure when you get to interview people like that you know, so many years after, are you getting a version? Are you back there? You know, how are you sifting through what you're being told? And also as writers with your own take on it.
How are we sifting through people's memories of it, you mean? Well, I mean, that's obviously a very interesting idea anyway for a dramatist, the sifting through memories. You know, we're not really kind of looking for, like, okay, so what's this moment of factual truth? You know, we are interested in versions and people's different memories of it. And the idea of kind of what happens when you go back and whether you get the whole picture, that's actually kind of built into the play in a way, really.
And so what role has the Grand Hotel as it is now played in that? Have you wandered round? Have you been into where the bedrooms were? And what was that like?
Yeah, we went round, we had a tour. Room 629, where he set the bomb, is no longer a room. They've renumbered all the rooms, so there isn't a 629. They've got material there. They've got records there, that which they showed us. And, you know, I love the Grand Hotel. I love the easy listening music. And, you know, so they've been helpful to us, you know, I would say. We haven't approached them about putting the play on there or anything like that, but they've been helpful.
Was that ever a thought?
An idle thought, but it was never going to happen, so we didn't really pursue it.
Just to dream creatively, if you did,
yeah,
would it have affected the way you'd written it?
Hopefully not. I mean, you know, we'd like to say not, but or that if it had begun to affect it, we would have had to rethink doing it there. I think that's it.
Yeah.
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 So, now I'm interested in those five notebooks again. So did this get drafted in one go? Did you work through scene by scene? Did you share the scenes out?
Yeah.
Are you still friends?
Yeah, we're very much... I mean, Josie phones me more than any member of my family now. So when the phone goes, I know it's going to be Josie. And we at first, we made a list of all the scenes we thought we could possibly have. We went away for a week, and we just took scenes that we fancied writing individually. And at the end of the week, we had this. We sat down and we read out actually what we got, and it was this kind of really crazy first draft, which had far too many. I mean, it had 40 or more characters. It was just crazy, but kind of great as well. And then we got a dramaturg on board, and we managed to reduce it quite a lot to three main stories, but. Actually, that finally we focused our drama on the stories of Pat and Joe and their journeys, really. So,
just tell us a bit about Pat and Joe for those that don't know.
Right. So Pat McGee, as a young man, went over. He was born in Norfolk. Went over. Born in Belfast, but grew up in Norfolk. And went to Belfast when he was 19, just to see what was going on. Got involved, got interned, and his experiences of brutality and what he witnessed kind of led him to become, you know, a volunteer for the England campaign, and you know, gradually he became sort of hardened, really closed in terms of, you know, in order to do what he did, and then he got a five life sentences, and was released as part of the Good Friday Agreement. So that's Pat's story. Joe's story, she was quite into spiritual development. Then her dad died. She felt she was thrown into a war that she knew nothing about. She went to Ireland to try and find more out about what the war was about. And finally, when Pat was released, she was really shocked. She thought he had no remorse in his eyes. She was very thrown back into the day of the bomb. You know, her trauma was re-triggered. And she sort of felt something, you know, positive had to come out of that. And so finally they met in 1999. And now they've got a charity together. Well, she has a charity and they work all around the world on peace and reconciliation.
So they were keen for this story to be told in this way?
Yes, they were. I mean, they were very much on board with it, yeah. We've kept them kind of up to date as we've gone along. Oh, kept them updated, not like minute-by-minute changes or anything. They both read a kind of script that was fairly near to kind of the one that we went into rehearsal with and you know, said that this sort of fairly represented, you know, what their story. And then, you know, obviously things have changed in rehearsal, but Pat has decided that he won't kind of come to the play because of the attention that he draws when he's around. He doesn't want to take the attention away from the play. And Joe has been already in our London run. She's done a couple of the Q&As. She's been to see it. And I think it's... But I'd not say this in case it doesn't happen, but I think it's coming again when we're in Brighton.
And stepping away from the specific Northern Ireland context, although that's still very much alive, you know, we're in a world at the moment where the world that you could say is riven with terrorism, with reaction, with causes, with, you know, destruction. So this is a contemporary play?
Yeah, I mean, I think the issue of how somebody goes and signs up for a conflict, signs up for, you know, as a volunteer in a country where they didn't grow up, is very contemporary. I mean, you know, their work together, you know, that they work with gang members and young Muslims, and you know, so there's definitely echoes about, you know, current world sort of situation. You want to say something, Josie?
Can I just say that I think that the aspect around kind of compassion and empathy and kind of being you know, standing up against the idea of labelling and kind of a very black and white approach to things, that is very much kind of the core of the play, really, the heart of the play, of what's happened between Pat and Joe, is also very kind of contemporary, you know, very relevant in a contemporary way and very much needed. And our audiences so far have been really kind of moved and engaged with the idea. And that's the response that we're getting really from audiences to that aspect of the play.
Going back into the writing process, particularly with a play like this, so there are moments when this play is in your head and it's there on the page, and you might, I don't know, you might read it to each other or read it aloud, but then there is this moment where some people called actors who have decided to do this for a living, actually you hear these words back to you for the first time.
Yeah.
What was that like? Who's grabbing that one?
Yeah, it's powerful because suddenly you've got real people that have committed to it. We have four actors from Ireland in the play, and they've brought a lot of their own experience sort of to bear on the role, and that's been amazing. And you know, the whole process of moving it into a kind of onto the stage has. Yeah, I don't know, brought up a lot of interesting staging things, I think, that I hadn't thought of.
Just to say that our main two actors playing Pat and Joe are Rory Connaughan and Rachel Berry, and obviously... I've done that before. Rachel Blackman, yes, Joe Berry. Rachel Blackman plays Joe Berry. And, you know, we knew... I mean, Rachel was somebody that we kind of wanted from the start. Obviously, as Brightonwise, we know Rachel. And, yeah, I just wanted to say that about Rachel, really, that in terms of when you hand something to actors and they begin to work with it, Rachel has a particular kind of quality that she brings over and above the text, I think,
yeah.
I would say. Well, and so does Rory. I mean,
yeah.
So do all of them.
They bring a lot of
physicality, I think, to the roles.
And that's where the writing lifts off the page that you wrote, isn't it? It's when actually you start watching it and it's early to think and think, that wasn't quite a stage direction we wrote, but now that is a stage direction.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of key scenes, I think, just really developed in rehearsals. A scene at the hotel is a very much like an ensemble sort of movement piece that wasn't in our script as it was, and you know, I find that quite exciting actually, because it's something that we couldn't maybe have thought of, but it kind of transpired and it just really works, I think, you know.
So coming back full circle now, final question I'm going to put to Josie. So there are people here as we look around the Warren that's just opening tonight, and you know, some of these people won't remember this, but they can see it as a new piece of writing and all the relevant issues today. And then there are people like myself that were, you know, we weren't in the hotel, but we were there. I was arriving in Brighton, and you brought it back to Brighton now. So do you think this play's going to have a particular kind of resonance with people that remember it?
Yes, I'm sure it will, and we have no idea what that will bring to the audience. We imagine that these audiences may be different from the ones we've had in London, we're very excited to find out.
Yeah, and it's selling quite well. Yeah.
So let's end on that curiosity, because that's always a good place to end.
Yeah.
So Josie and Julie, thanks very much.